I'm Polly Warren and welcome to the Positive Perimenopause Podcast. This is the place for some positive inspiration to help you through the rollercoaster ride of perimenopause. I truly believe that with the right support, knowledge and wellness tools, you can feel your best yet. Because I'm learning this life phase can be a truly exciting and often pivotal time of life. With every episode, my mission is to support and empower you to own your menopause, because it's time to start taking care of the most important person, and yes, that's you. So thank you for being here and sharing your time with me. Now let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. How are you? I hope you had a good weekend. I had a really fun weekend, actually. I went to Wiltshire for a friend's 50th birthday party. Seems to be like everybody's turning 50 at the moment. But I had a really good time, although I felt dreadful yesterday. It was one of those parties where I got very overexcited and I drank too much. And now it'd be very easy for me to sit here and say that I don't do that because I'm a health coach and I do have lots of lovely healthy habits in my life. But now and again, I do like to let my hair down. And on Saturday night, I ended up going round with a bottle of Tuaca. I don't know if anybody knows Tuaca. It's actually, I think someone brought it over from Italy to a bar in Brighton, and it became really, really popular. And here in Brighton, you can buy it in off licenses and you can buy it in pubs, but it's very hard to get anywhere else in the country. Anyway, we gave a bottle of Tuaca to this friend of ours, and I ended up cracking it open and passing it round to everybody on Saturday night. But the problem was, everyone kept saying to me, oh, you're going to join us and have one, as I was passing it around. And so I drank too much of it, woke up yesterday feeling dreadful, promising that I would never drink again. But in fact, I had a lovely day on the sofa with the kids dropping in and out and joining me. And today I went to bed really lovely and early last night. And then this morning I woke up as usual, 5:27, went and did my 3 miles of running, which is part of my marathon plan, and had a really good breakfast of lots of fresh fruit and Greek yogurt and ground linseed and pumpkin seeds. And I feel great today. And I tell you this because I think it's very easy for us to think of people who are working in the sort of health space as, you know, they're always doing everything perfectly. It's not true. You know, for me, it's about healthy habits, which are just part of your life. And okay, I do try and eat as well as I can. I make sure I get enough sleep. I drink enough water. I move my body. But I also believe that part of that health journey is to let our hair down and have fun and enjoy life. And if we're too regimented about everything, it can become really dull and boring. And that isn't part of a healthy lifestyle, in my opinion. I'm not advocating that you should go and drink Tuaca shots to the extent I did on Saturday night, because that isn't going to suit everybody. And perhaps I definitely didn't need to drink as much as I did, but it would have been very easy for myself to beat myself up about it. And I didn't. I was really pleased I didn't, because I had made that choice. I knew that I was going to need to have a really lovely self-carey day the following day, which I did. And today I feel good and I feel my heart is full. And yeah, good reminder, don't beat yourself up. Alcohol is a funny one, isn't it? Because for some people, as they go through perimenopause, they really are not able to tolerate it at all. And if that's you, then obviously reducing your alcohol intake completely makes sense. I generally don't drink at all during the week. And now I'm very kind of mindful when I do drink. But when I do, I just make sure that it's something I want to drink for. It's an occasion of celebration. And nowadays I make sure also that I'm drinking because it's an enhancer of a situation rather than a number. And goodness, for so many years I used alcohol as a number, to numb out. And I think if that's how you're using alcohol, then maybe that's time to start asking questions. Is that a healthy relationship to it? But if it's going to enhance a situation, then, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world at all. So I also want to tell you a little bit about a special offer I've got going on at the moment. I am offering my 90-minute support menopause support sessions at a reduced cost of £125 at the moment. Now, these sessions are so useful for a way to get yourself onto a pathway of really feeling back to your old self again. Sometimes we just need someone to listen to us and to help us work out what is the best way forward. So it's perfect for someone who might be really lacking in energy at the moment, which is obviously such a common thing as we go through perimenopause. You might have really poor sleep. Your moods might be feeling out of control. You've lost your motivation. And really, you just need some help to get you back on the pathway of feeling like yourself again. If that's you, I would absolutely love to help you. For 90 minutes, it's £125. You'll do a really thorough menopause assessment before the session, so we both have a really clear idea of what's going on for you, and they really do help. I mean, some of the women I've been working with recently are just so amazed how much energized they feel after one of these sessions, how the things that we talk about are really helping to reduce their stress, balance their blood sugar, which is in turn helping them to sleep better, to feel less anxious. So I'd love to hear from you if you feel like one of these sessions would be helpful, and particularly after the holiday season, going into January, we all have good intentions going into January. It's like, right, what can I do to really help myself? Maybe gift yourself the present of, right, this is a really great chance to choose me, to make a choice to actually start prioritizing my health, because you ultimately are the most important person. Okay. On to this week's episode, which I absolutely loved. This week, I speak to Melinda McDougall, who is a registered medical herbalist, who is super passionate about helping women have a really healthy and happy menopause. Melinda has a Master of Science degree in herbal medicine and specializes in women's health. She has analysed hundreds of research papers on herbal medicine and menopause to find out what really works, and uses that knowledge in her busy clinic to help women find natural solutions to their health problems. Melinda lives and works in London, and she's also vice president of the National Institute of Medical Herbalists. I really did enjoy this conversation with Melinda because it proves and goes to show that we don't just need to rely on things like HRT, because there are other ways of doing things. So if you're somebody who doesn't want to take HRT, or even if you do take HRT but are curious to find other ways of supporting yourself naturally, then this really is a conversation for you. And she is proof that these herbs are working. It's something which I really want to explore more about myself. And I really enjoyed talking to Melinda. So without further ado, please welcome the very lovely Melinda McDougall. Hello, Melinda. It's absolutely lovely to meet you. Lovely to have you on the podcast. And I've got to say, I am really very excited about this conversation today.
Well, it's great to be here, Polly. And yeah, here to answer any questions you might have.
Fantastic. So, Melinda, you are a medical herbalist.
Yes.
So I'm really fascinated, just to start off with, to know exactly what is a medical herbalist, how does it differ from just a herbalist, and maybe a little bit of, you know, what is herbal medicine? I know that's quite a lot of questions in one, but maybe we could just start with there for people who really don't know what that entails.
Yeah, sure. So I'll start by talking a little bit about herbal medicine. So herbal medicine is the oldest form of medicine on earth, and it's the use of plants to support our health and well-being. In the history of modern medicine is really the history of herbal medicine, because a lot of the pharmaceutical drugs that we take now are derived from plants, or constituents of those plants. So herbal medicine is not homeopathy. Homeopathy is a completely different form of medicine and a different practice. So herbal medicine in the modern world is very much about, using the plants that grow around us in Europe, sometimes further afield to support our health. And that can be through food, through using them in our food or using them in a more medicinal way, which is how I use herbal medicine. Through things like herbal teas, herbal tinctures, which is liquid extracts of herbal medicine, capsules, powdered forms of herbs, and we use all different types of plants, and roots and barks and flowers and leaves. And there's a lot of chemistry involved, a lot of science involved behind it, but there's also a long traditional use. And let's face it, as human beings, we would not be alive. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for herbal medicine. And a medical herbalist, medical herbalists are trained, very highly trained, and we go through, years and years of training. We have extensive training in things like, anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, botany. We have a lot of the skills that GPs have. We actually have a legal right of diagnosis, which a lot of other alternative medicine practices have, complementary medicine practices have. Why are we different to other herbalists? So there's lots of herbalists out there, and there's, traditional healers, there's community herbalists who, work in herb gardens and, run lots of teaching courses out there to help people with their well-being. But as a medical herbalist, I run a clinic, so I see people in a clinical context. So, yeah, I hope that's answered
your question. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I read that somewhere that the practice of herbal medicine dates back as far as like 60,000 years ago from when we began. So it makes so much sense, doesn't it, that nature can provide what we need to heal ourselves. Yet nowadays, the medical world feels very removed from that. Mm. Why do you think that's happened? And do you think attitudes in the medical world are beginning to change and to accept the healing power of herbal medicine a bit more?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the history of all of this is absolutely fascinating, and I won't go into it, but it's, if you look into the history of the sort of schism that happened between, the herbalists and the physicians, way back sort of in the time of Henry VIII, really, that's where things started to kind of split off, and there was, a real push towards, drug medicine and pharmaceutical medicine. And then there was another branch of, herbal medicine and herbalists that sort of stayed true to the original form of medicine. And obviously the NHS came along. And interestingly, herbalists were actually invited to become part of the NHS, back when it was formed. But we actually said no, because we would have been subservient to the physicians. And that was not how herbalists wanted to be treated. Mm-hmm. So, and from that time onwards, the NHS was very much about, pharmaceutical drugs only. So that's a bit of a sad loss, I think, for the UK. But, and certainly there's been a complete push towards pharmaceutical drugs, in the late part of the 20th century. But it is really heartening at the moment because, as a medical herbalist, I collaborate with gynecologists, oncologists, GPs, we cross-refer patients, and there's a lot of collaboration going on. And I think, and also there's a lot of GPs and nurses and consultants training to be herbalists at the moment as well. So there is a lot of cross-pollination going on at the moment. And I think the benefits of integrative medicine is really starting to shine through.
Oh, it's so good to hear, because it just does seem crazy, doesn't it, that we're just not using this incredible, well, the NHS and medicine are not using this incredible resource. It's crazy because pharmaceutical drugs, as you say, derive from plants in a more, much more natural form.
Yes. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. So you've got a first class master's degree in herbal medicine with a specific focus on menopause.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
So what brought you to have that focus, in particularly in menopause?
So this was quite a few years ago when no one was really talking about menopause, and I just could see this huge treatment gap. And, you know, I could just see, you know, I have a lot of friends who are perhaps a little bit older than me, and I could just see that they were, what they were all going through. And also from my own life, you know, my real inspiration for all of this is my own mother, because she had one of the worst menopause experiences I've ever seen, still to this day, even after treating a lot of women myself. And I guess watching her sort of struggle and go through just extreme symptoms, with really not a lot of help, and really not being able to talk much about it, like it was very taboo, it just set me off on this path of research. You know, from a very young age, I was kind of alerted to this thing called menopause, you know, and what it could do to you as a woman. So I was really determined to sort of, you know, almost like, I don't want that to happen to me, but I also just wanted to learn more about it. And I mean, because my previous career was actually in journalism. And, you know, I was a TV documentary maker for Channel 4 and BBC for many years. And so I've always had a real kind of research, you know, I'm very research minded. And it just got to a point in my sort of late 30s in this very high stress career where I thought, I'm going to retrain and I'm going to really focus on women's health. And I really want to learn more about, you know, plant medicine and what it can do for women, because women have always used plant medicine to great effect, you know, to support their health. So that's what kind of attracted me.
Yeah. And what about yourself? Has it, I mean, where are you at in your own menopause journey? Has it been helpful for you? I presume it has been.
Yeah, hugely, hugely. Yeah. So I'm turning 50 in a few weeks time.
Congratulations.
And, you know, I certainly started noticing the effects of perimenopause when I was in my early 40s and, you know, started getting, you know, very sort of heavy bleeding, you know, and I was like, God, what's going on, you know, and nobody was really talking about any of that sort of back at that stage. And, you know, obviously, since I've worked in this field, you know, I often have conversations with women about this kind of crime scene that happens every month, And actually, I did consult a herbalist back at that stage, and they did really help me. And that sort of further confirmed my, you know, my drive and interest in finding out more. And yeah, it's been an interesting journey. Obviously I take a lot of herbal medicine and I know what to do to help me to go through the transition smoothly. But it is interesting, if I sort of stop taking my herbs for a couple of weeks, I do notice, you know, night sweats, hot flushes, you know, insomnia, you know, all that sort of stuff, bit of anxiety creeping in, you know, all those classic symptoms.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a good toolkit at my disposal though.
Yeah. And how great that you are using exactly what you're then helping other people with. So you just know in your soul how effective it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what are some of the common symptoms you see women have who are kind of walking through your clinic door? What are the most common things?
Well, it's, you know, it's the whole range, really. You know, and I think it's really important to sort of say that, you know, I treat women who not only are you know, have quite mild symptoms and just sort of want to look after themselves and, you know, optimize their well-being. But I also see a lot of women with really severe symptoms, you know, who've been signed off work, can't function, intense brain fog, anxiety, insomnia, hot flushes, you know, crying all day long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't want to use HRT and they're really wanting to use a natural approach. And I'm really pleased to say that herbal medicine has also been able to help women with incredibly severe symptoms to sort of lead a really happy, you know, well-functioning life. Yeah. It's a big range. I mean, all the classic symptoms that you'd expect, really.
Yeah. So say someone was to walk through the door with, you know, severe or any sort of menopause symptoms, what is the process? So how do you help them? Because I think all of us think, okay, herbs, we've all heard of a lot of the herbs which we can buy over the counter, but actually, how do you do it?
Yeah, so it is interesting because there are obviously a lot of supplements out there and a lot of you know, herbal medicines that you can buy, you know, down at your local health food shop. But, you know, people come to me because they want somebody who's got the expertise of exactly which herb's going to suit them, you know, because, you know, five different women with hot flushes are not all going to respond to a sage supplement, for example. So when someone comes to see me, I'll spend an hour and a half with them to begin with, and I will do a complete holistic assessment and, you know, take into account, you know, their diet, you know, what stress is impacting them, you know, because that's a big factor in menopause. You know, what exercise are they doing? You know, what other health conditions they've got? Because that's a big thing that I think we don't talk about enough with menopause is, you know, it's, you know, we talk about women going through the menopause, but women have so many other things going on as well, you know, with their health and with other things in their lives. So it's really important for me to get to know someone, you know, really well. Then I'll go away and I will put together a bespoke herbal medicine prescription for them. I've got my own dispensary. Most herbalists do have their own dispensaries. And this will be a liquid herbal prescription. So I will put together about six or seven different herbs in that prescription and send it out to you, get you to take it for about a month, twice a day. And then I'll get you back and we'll have a catch up and, you know, see how you're doing and, you know, is there anything we need to adjust? And, you know, because the whole thing about menopause and perimenopause is it is a constantly moving and shifting, ever-changing thing, you know, that we need to kind of adapt to and respond to. So it's not just a one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah, it's so true. And as you say, there are so many different reasons that we experience symptoms. I mean, as someone who takes a truly holistic approach to treating menopause, I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts on to the main reasons we experience those symptoms? Because we know that our sex hormones are declining, but I know that there's a lot more to it than that. And I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's really great you've brought this up because when I first started looking into menopause and did my master's degree and sort of analyzed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of research papers about menopause, and I was really struck back, I mean, this was, you know, quite a few years ago, that the lack of research was astonishing. You know, no one really even knew why we have hot flushes, you know, and that's starting to change and there's more research and it's really interesting what's being uncovered in terms of how the neurotransmitters in our bodies are really implicated. So, you know, things like serotonin and noradrenaline and things like that, you know, and they can't really be fixed with hormone supplementation. So for me, there is a whole part of this picture that's not really being looked at, and that's to do with, you know, stress hormones like cortisol, adrenaline. You know, when someone comes to me, I always look at their sort of stress levels and their adrenal system to give them, you know, a lot more support. And that can really make a huge difference with symptoms, actually. And also, you know, liver function as well, you know, where it's been something I've been going on about for years, but we're starting to really see the evidence now that if you're in perimenopause and you're taking hormone supplementation and your liver is not working properly to detoxify any excess estrogen in your body, you're going to get some side effects. You know, you're going to get some unpleasant things happening there. And, you know, there's so much more to be uncovered with this, and we're only really just beginning. But, you know, that, yeah, it's a big, big, big picture that we need to take into account, and not just our sex hormones.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I people who I work with, I always talk about cortisol and stress. And I really work with people to try and reduce their stress levels, both that internal stress with blood sugar, but also obviously the external stresses of life as well, because it does have such a huge effect on our hormones. It really messes up with our balance, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, do you presumably talk about as well, kind of, you look at that sort of sugar imbalances, or those glucose imbalances as well? Is that something you see quite a lot of? And I mean, are there any herbs which can help with balancing blood sugar?
Well, Polly, yes. I have a very special herb that I use for that, actually.
Okay.
Because I completely agree with you that keeping blood sugar stable is hugely important. And again, there's more and more research coming out about that, that, you know, when you go through menopause, your body's ability to metabolize glucose and insulin changes. So it's really important to try to keep that blood sugar stable. But women often find that they are craving sugar, which is not surprising because they're feeling tired, you know, they're feeling stressed out, they want an energy boost. And sugar is a very, very addictive thing. So, yeah, there's this amazing herb I use, which is called Gymnema. Gymnema. And, it, you know, it's used a lot for diabetes, actually. But I'm finding it really useful for my menopausal clients. And it's funny because it actually works on your sugar receptors on your tongue. So you just don't want to eat so much sugar. And it's funny because I have clients and I put it into their prescription and they come back to me and go, oh my God, there's this packet of biscuits in my house and I haven't even opened them, you know.
It sounds amazing. Oh my goodness, I need some of that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And you only really need a very small dose of it for it to be effective as well. So it's wonderful, actually.
Wow, because that is one of the hardest things, isn't it? Once you get on that blood sugar roller coaster and you start to have those cravings, it's really, really hard to get off it and not to have them. And, you know, the only way other way is just to make sure that you are constantly keeping your blood sugar at a, you know, in that kind of that safety zone rather than spiking and falling. So that's, gosh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a good one to have up my sleeve.
Are there, and in terms of the other herbs that you commonly used to treat menopause, are there any other ones which really stand out, which you use a lot of?
Yeah, so I am a big fan of black cohosh. I tend to use it for women who are, you know, fully in the throes of menopause. So, you know, hot flushes, night sweats, joint aches, you know, brain fog. It's a pretty good all-rounder. And it's not a phytoestrogen. People used to think it was, but it's not. And it actually works on our neurotransmitter pathways. So it's really safe for people who've had breast cancer and things like that. So that's a big one for me. I always give people an adaptogen. So going back to the whole stress response. So things like ashwagandha, rhodiola is another one I use quite a lot. And that really helps with sort of mental focus and energy and, you know, just to sort of help calm down these cortisol levels. Bit of liver support, you know, dandelion root, milk thistle, they're really key for me as well. And there's some really good ones for brain fog. So there's a fantastic herb called Gotu Kola, which is fantastic for sort of mental clarity. Oh, yes, and Skullcap is one of my favourites for anxiety. So it's got a bit of a scary name, but it's actually very calming and relaxing. So that's a good one for sort of menopausal anxiety.
So you mix all of these up together into a tincture, which you can then take. So in the correct amount. I mean, because it does sound such a fantastic alternative for people who don't want to take HRT. I mean, can you take it with HRT if you're on HRT?
Yeah, so I have clients who are taking HRT and just want a bit more support with, you know, other things that are affecting them, you know, perhaps other health conditions and the things that HRT can't reach, you know, as we've discussed. Yeah. So things like, you know, cortisol levels, the stress response, you know, and perhaps to mitigate some of the side effects from HRT as well. And I've got clients who don't want to take HRT. I've got clients who can't take HRT because of other health conditions. So yeah, it's you know, I support all women basically. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the over-the-counter herbs? I mean, we did touch on it earlier, but those ones which you can go to your health food shop and buy over the counter, do they work? Are they what they say they are? Is it just a waste of money?
Yeah, so this can be the bane of herbalist life sometimes. I would say you really get what you pay for here out on the high street or online. And you've really got to do your research and you've really got to look at the quality of the supplement that you're taking. Unfortunately, there have been some quite good studies done on some of the sort of, you know, supplements that are available out there. And they were really shown to not contain very much of the herb that they were, you know, selling you. Which is very disappointing because, you know, it just breaks my heart that people are going out there wasting a lot of money and then throwing them in the bin and thinking herbal medicine doesn't work, you know. So that's really unfortunate. But there are some good supplements out there that do work. So you just need to do your research and, you know, there is a logo, a THR logo that you can look for on over-the-counter herbal medicines that mean that they are a traditional, they have a traditional herbal registration. So they've been through a registration process.
Okay. And I mean, do they work when you take a herb? I mean, say for example, you wanted to take black cohosh. Do they work just taking it on its own? Obviously it's not going to be as good as taking a, in combination, like the ones which you would prescribe, but do they work on their own or?
They do. You can take them individually. You know, it can, and again, it can be very individual. So black cohosh may work for one woman, but it may not work for another. You know, and this can be for all sorts of reasons. You know, but that is a good one, I think, to sort of start with if you're looking at self-medicating. That is a good one to start with, I think, if you go for a good quality supplement, yeah.
Okay. And is it all right to take with other medications?
Black cohosh? Yeah, I mean, it is always best if you are taking prescription medication to go and see a herbalist and just make sure that there aren't any interactions, and always take your herbal medicine, you know, away from your prescription medication. So, you know, leave a gap of a couple of hours, you know, to be on the safe side.
Okay. You mentioned earlier phytoestrogens.
Yes.
I talk about phytoestrogens an awful lot because I think they're so cool how they can mimic estrogen in our body, and we can get them through plants and easily kind of get that into our diet. I'd love to know a little bit more about, you know, do you use them? Do you use them in herbs? How does that all work?
Yeah, phytoestrogens are really fascinating. There are so many wonderful receptors in our bodies that respond to molecules in plants, you know, and the cannabinoid system in our body is another example of that. I mean, we have evolved alongside plants. We have these receptors in our bodies that respond to those molecules in the plants, you know, and it's just like when you eat an apple, your body knows what to do with that apple and it knows how to break it down and, you know, use the vitamin C in it, for example, you know. And phytoestrogens are really interesting and we're learning more and more about them. And they are, you know, I prefer to call them selective estrogen receptor modulators because they, you know, there's a bit of a myth about phytoestrogens that they're going to sort of somehow increase dangerous levels of estrogen in your body. And that's not really how they work, because they're selective. And they can either, you know, they can lower levels of estrogen if you've got, you know, a high level of estrogen situation like you might have in perimenopause. Or they can slightly increase it if you've got low levels of estrogen, as in when you're post-menopause. So they are really useful. And, you know, there are herbs like red clover, for example, that are phytoestrogens. I don't tend to use them so much. I prefer people to get their phytoestrogens through things like flaxseed, for example, you know, and to really incorporate that into their breakfast every day, you know, have a tablespoon of ground flaxseed every day. And it's also high in fiber, which is really great, because when you've got too much estrogen in your body and you're perimenopausal, that estrogen has to be broken down in the liver and then excreted through the bowel and out of the body. So you've got to make sure that your bowel health is really good as well. So flaxseed does two in one for you there.
Yeah, my gosh, I love flaxseed. I get mine from the linseed farm here in Sussex. And you can buy it fresh. You can put it in the fridge. It lasts for 3 months. I really need to do a deal with the linseed farm because I really recommend them. But yeah, it's so brilliant just to put a couple of tablespoons on your, I put it on my yogurt in the morning with some fruit. You can put it in smoothies, and it's such a great way to get those phytoestrogens in.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, I love that. I love that. You just confirmed everything, which good. I believe, which is always good. So if someone would love to come and work with you, Melinda, what can they do? What's the next step for them?
I'm always very happy to speak to anyone who would like to work with me. And I offer, free introductory calls for anyone who wants to get in touch, and they can contact me through my website or through social media. And, we can have a chat and just decide, you know, what the best way forward is for you. And, you know, always very welcome to come and book a consultation with me.
Fantastic. I will put all of that, all of your details in the show notes. It's been really, really lovely just chatting to you and finding out more about herbal medicine. Is it something, I'm just thinking about myself, because obviously I'm fascinated in all of this. I mean, it obviously took you years to get all this knowledge. So the best thing to do really, I suppose, is to speak to a herbalist, because it's very difficult otherwise to get the detailed knowledge that you need in order to treat yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm 100% about empowering people to look after their own health. And there's a lot you can learn just, for yourself, you know, some basic kind of self-care tips. And there are a lot of wonderful sort of introductory herbal medicine courses out there that people can do. But certainly if you've got a health condition you want some support with, you know, go and see a herbalist, because they'll be able to give you expert advice and they'll know exactly the right herb to give you, because it can be a bit of a minefield because there are so many plants out there that, you know, we can use for our health.
Yeah, and it's probably much better to do that rather than waste a load of money on over-the-counter herbs, which might not be working or might not be the right one for you. Yeah. I end this podcast every week with asking my guests the same question, which is, because this is called the Positive Perimenopause Podcast, can you give just one sort of real actionable, practical tip that the listeners can take away this week and actually implement into their everyday lives?
Well, I would just say, as a herbalist, just please go and spend as much time in nature as you possibly can. You know, even if you live in the middle of a city, you know, go and find a beautiful park near you. Or if you're lucky to live out in the countryside, you know, please make sure you get out, you know, especially over the winter months. It's so important for us to get daylight, do some exercise, be in nature. It's so great for us. And, you know, watch the changing of the seasons. It really does help with so many, you know, we know mental health, physical health, blood pressure. It's just a wonderful thing. And, you know, grow some herbs.
Yes, absolutely. What herbs would you recommend to start off with growing, if you can?
Just really easy ones, like, you know, rosemary, you know, lavender. Lemon balm is the easiest one of all to grow, and it's quite good in menopause as well, because it's really good for your digestion and it's also very sort of uplifting. So you can literally just pick some leaves of lemon balm from the bush that you've grown, put them in a teapot, cover them in hot water, and drink a cup of lemon balm tea, and it will really make you feel wonderful.
Oh, I love that tip. Actually, I was going to ask you about herbal teas. Sorry, this is my last question. I was going to ask you about herbal teas, because I drink a huge amount of herbal tea. But I always wonder, do they actually have an effect? Are they strong enough to have a positive effect on us?
So if I'm prescribing someone a herbal tea, I'll get them to make it from the loose leaf plant. So if it's chamomile tea, I'd get them to, you know, actually get the chamomile flowers, which you can buy from, you know, wonderful places like Baldwin's, and, you know, make it very strong. So, you know, you're going to put, you know, a couple of dessert spoons of those flowers into a pot of tea and really brew it, steep it for about 15 minutes. And that's going to have a really great medicinal effect. But, you know, just your bog standard tea bag, it is going to help you. You know, if you think about it, you know, we've been drinking mint tea as human beings for, you know, thousands and thousands of years, you know, after we have a meal, because it helps us digest our food. You know, we've been drinking chamomile tea before bed because it helps us to unwind. It, you know, it's very calming. It helps us to sleep better. So absolutely, you know, just your bog standard herbal tea bag can have an effect. But if I'm trying to get a medicinal effect, I'm going to want it to be very much stronger.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Melinda. Really lovely to chat to you. Thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge. And I'll put all your details in the show notes. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Polly.
Pleasure.
Okay. Bye.
I hope you found this conversation helpful. And I think you'd agree that herbal medicine really does sound like a great alternative to HRT. So if you want to check out more about Melinda, or what she does, or want to make an appointment, I will put all of her details in the show notes. I just want to thank you so much for listening. I honestly appreciate it so much. And I know how busy everybody is, so thank you. It really does mean the world to me. Don't forget, if you want to book a one-to-one session with me, please do get in touch. Send me an email at info@polyron.com, And obviously, if you feel a friend could benefit from this episode, please do feel free to forward this on to them. And as always, I would love to hear from you if you'd like to leave me a review over on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get this podcast out there. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and I really, really can't wait to chat along with you next time. Bye.